I just use Mahima
as like a mononym. The, I love it.
Yeah, Madonna, Prince, Mahima.
Fantastic.
Welcome back, Intimates. Thanks for your support on Patreon, making this 2021 season possible. This podcast is about all things intimate: relationships, love, connection, community, consensual non-monogamy, kink, orgies, lovers, and of course, good old-fashioned sex. I talk with old friends and even meet some new ones. I interview people from all walks of life, from recovered addicts to counselors, sex partners to perfect strangers. I'd like to thank my hosts, the Musqueam First Nation, as this podcast is recorded on their unceded ancestral territory, where I was born, where I work, and where I currently live and play. So settle in for an intimate conversation.
I'm excited to introduce you to my guest today, Mahima. She grew up in apartheid Zimbabwe, married to a Swiss man at 21, divorced that Swiss man at 22, and is now focused on cultivating peace, connection to self, to soul, and to sexual expression. Content warning, of course, for abuse, racism, body image, weight loss, self-loathing, and, of course, apartheid. If I had to sum up Mahima in two words, it would probably be love yourself. Now, let's get to the session. Welcome everyone to another session of Intimate Interactions. I'm here with Mahima, Europe's number one self-mastery mentor, an award-winning speaker and trainer. Welcome, Mahima. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh my God, I'm so excited, Victor, to spend this time with you and your amazing audience. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity.
Absolutely. I appreciate being able to speak with you. I'm super curious to talk more about self-mastery and what it is and how it sort of relates to, I mean, a few different things, but obviously the idea of like self-intimacy comes up for me, and ideas of how we form meaningful relationships. But a lot of that in the context of self-mastery, it's such a big and expansive topic. Do you want to talk a little bit more about relationship building?
Oh, yes. So what I have found out after what I call more than 2.5 decades of being on this path of self-inquiry, that knowing who you are, knowing what, not just what you like or don't like, what your values are, and, you know, what you are trying to create or what you prefer or don't prefer, this is one level of self-knowledge. But it's a more superficial level of self-knowledge. The real wisdom of self comes from knowing your soul, knowing your spirit, knowing, you could call it the divine aspect of self, you could call it the energy aspect of yourself, the part of yourself that came into this world with nothing and is going to leave with nothing. Right? The part of yourself that is aware that each day is a gift because you are alive and you are in this body and you have another day to breathe, to play, to, you know, to explore what it means to be in this body and in this world, right? So self-wisdom, self-mastery is knowing the self that is beyond your name, your story. For me, self-mastery is being able to connect with nature, connect in stillness, in a place of peace. It is spending time with yourself, that is quality time, where you're not escaping from yourself into food or, you know, relationships or TV or internet or whatever it is, right? That you can really be with yourself and feel comfortable in your own skin, loving yourself and being present with yourself. So self-mastery is the wisdom of the soul. And I wish more people would be really into this. Because unfortunately, most people are into the wisdom of the mind, right?
For sure.
And we pursue pieces of paper, certifications, more mental education, while, you know, the connection with ourself is suffering. And so That's for me what self-mastery is. It is the willingness to live a full life starting right now, here, today. This moment is all that exists. And self-mastery is the willingness to be in this present moment and be with yourself as you are, feeling whole and complete, feeling expansive and grounded, feeling
wonderful,
light and loving. Yeah.
I think a lot of my audience is very into the wisdom of the mind, in so much as the types of individuals that likely follow me are individuals, like a lot of my listenership comes from California. Some of it comes from Silicon Valley, and I have a degree in science. So like for me, it's something that's been near and dear to my heart my whole life. And I also see that, you know, the present moment really is all that exists. And that there is a genuine sense of joy when you connect with that, and when you sort of release a lot of the, you know, the regrets or depression sort of generating thoughts of the past, and you release a lot of the anxiety generating thoughts of the future, and you kind of just sit in the present moment and more what you described as stillness. There is certainly a joy there, and that connection to self and to like this present moment is, I think, so vital for happiness.
Abso-freaking-lutely. And so how does that play in relationships? Your relationships will just be more rich and fulfilling. Mm-hmm. When you feel whole, when you're coming from a place of wholeness, right? You're mm-hmm. independent, because for me, to know thyself in the way that we've just spoken about, you need to become independent. That means that your attachment to others is, you understand the nature of reality, which is things come and go, people come and go, mm-hmm. Health comes and goes, money comes and goes, right? Even the people have built millions of dollars, they have talked about moments where they almost lost everything. Mm-hmm. Some of them have actually lost everything and mm-hmm. had to rebuild it, right? so nothing, the only thing that, you know, that remains is the essence of who we truly are, right? So for me, that is the self-wisdom of getting in touch with that, which is your soul, your essence, your spirit, and then playing with your business, playing in your relationships, playing at building your business. Literally, if you think about it, like a child that plays on the beach, yes, and he's just in total bliss. He's building the sand castles. He's feeling the sun. The wind is in his hair. The sun is kissing his feet. He loves the sand, and he's just building these sand castles. And then a wave comes and sweeps away everything he's built.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's an analogy for me of life. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Will be gone one day.
Yes.
And that will be the wave that sweeps everything away. So mm-hmm. why not just have a good time playing in that sand? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sort of a nihilist, so like I very much identify with that philosophy of like, why not? I mean, as long as you're not doing harm, because I mean, harm doesn't just hurt other people, but I think being harmful to other people hurts your own soul.
No, that's not good. Yes. Yeah. So as we learn to, you know, embrace our power, actually, because that's for me, power, freedom, mm-hmm. independence,
mm-hmm.
we can actually show up more powerfully in the relationships around us, because mm-hmm. we have less mm-hmm. fear of loss, less fear of being judged, mm-hmm. less fear of not receiving what we want to receive, because we don't, you know, the expectation is, hey, this person gets to be whoever they are, and I get to be whoever I am. Mm-hmm. And if we can co-create magical moments together, that's awesome. And
yeah.
if we can't, that's okay. You know, I'm not going to get depressed or unhappy about, you know, my relationships not going well, because I have a good relationship with myself. I will actually respect that I can build good relationships with other people. Mm-hmm. I just need to respect myself. So since
For sure.
I've had this, let's say, up-leveled self awareness, my relationships are awesome. They are filled with people who truly care about me and who truly support and love me. But when I was in my needy, desperate to be acknowledged self, I was creating only toxic relationships.
Yes, 100%. I have been there. I hear what you're saying.
Yes. and yeah, Victor, intimacy with self. I believe that the sexual, that we all need sexual healing, right? Sexual transformation.
Yes.
Because unfortunately, due to societal and cultural and religious beliefs, a lot of us have a contaminated sexual relationship.
Sure.
Yeah, and not necessarily positively contaminated, right?
Yeah, sure.
And so part of the self-mastery journey is to acknowledge where we need to heal and transform the way we think, feel, and act around a topic, right? Mm-hmm. That can be, and most of the taboo topics are where a lot of people carry baggage, right? Mm-hmm. Religion, sex, money, you know, relationships with family, and so forth and so on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally.
So we need to put that baggage down. Yeah, but you can't just put it down, right?
Like,
first you have to become aware you're carrying the baggage around.
Yes. Right?
So that process of awareness, that's where the growth happens. And that's what I love taking people through, journeys of self-awareness, where they start becoming aware of, I don't need to think this. I don't need to be feeling this. I don't need to be acting in this way. I can transform this. Yes,
yeah.
But I'm whole and complete, so I'm not waiting for this to transform in my life, right?
Yes.
Because when you are free and living in the present moment, you accept yourself as you are right now, you accept the world as it is right now, and you accept others as they are right now. So there's a sense of peace in what is. And whatever transformation happens, it's a bonus on top of your already, you know, complete and whole space. So that's what I really love to show people. Yeah. That you don't wait until you're having better sex, or, or you're so kind, you don't get so angry at others anymore. You don't have to wait for yourself to be an improved human before you can love yourself. You can love yourself with all of that messiness and still feel comfortable with who you are. Yeah.
Love it.
Mm.
Wonderful. So tell me a little bit more about your journey becoming Europe's number one self-mastery mentor.
Yes, it started more than two and a half decades ago when I found myself, I was married to a beautiful Swiss guy and had the a picture perfect life from anyone looking at me. Right, especially growing up in Zimbabwe and having that opportunity to be with a Swiss guy, right? Mm-hmm. And all my family was like, oh my God, she has, you know, honestly, they thought I'd hit the jackpot. That was their way of, you know, describing what was happening to me, right?
Right?
Because I could travel, we had a beautiful house, we had a swimming pool, jacuzzi, we were living the life. But here's the thing. I was 18 when I met him.
Wow.
And married with 21 and got divorced with 22. Okay.
Jeez.
Yes. So, and because of all my messy childhood living in an apartheid country, apartheid is a culture of hate.
Yes.
Okay. My parents lived in that culture. My grandparents lived in that culture. My great grandparents lived in that culture. And so there was a lot of emotional messiness in my family. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Top that up with a Roman Catholic upbringing. Okay. And physical and sexual abuse.
Oh,
okay?
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thank you. Thank you for your kindness. But, you know, so there was a hot mess where Mahima stood, okay,
yeah.
as an 18-year-old young adult, okay. So no amount of fancy like money and freedom and being beautiful could help, could make me feel happiness, okay.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that at that time because I was just a normal it was all normal what I'd gone through in my childhood, right? Everyone around me had gone through similar things. So it wasn't like, you know, I was special or unique in that way. So so when I got divorced, obviously there was no way I could be happy with that first husband. I bitched and moaned and cried and screamed and complained, you know, every step of the way, you know, while, you know, while having the fancy life that everyone thought should make me, you know, so grateful and happy and, you know, and so forth. But there's no way I could enjoy any of it because I was miserable inside.
Yeah.
So my journey took me to India, and I was not aware that I was miserable inside. I was not aware that I was the problem. As far as I was concerned, my husband was the problem, right? My family was the problem. You know, everybody else was the problem. And I was this innocent, you know, sort of, innocent girl that had been misled by this man and so forth and so on, the full victim trip, right?
Yeah.
So then I got to India and I'm in this meditation for the first time in my life. I'm sitting in an ashram, totally skeptical. I did not go there looking for a guru. I did not go there looking for meditation. I went there because someone told me, listen, you can live very cheap in India and you're a hot mess right now and you should not go anywhere else. Go there and get yourself together. And I just listened. I was like, I was messy. I was crying and laughing at the same time. So I was like, yeah, why not? Why not? I'll just jump on a plane and go to India. First ever meditation, something happened. I had an awakening. And that awakening showed me a level of self-awareness. And I discovered inner peace. I literally discovered inner peace in my first ever meditation. And I felt expansive and I felt peaceful. I hadn't felt so good in my whole adult life. Within 2 hours, I'd shifted my whole consciousness. And this is a spiritual awakening. It happens to people and it happened to me. I became fascinated with what I was experiencing and decided to dive full in. And I started meditating hours and hours every day and listening to all of the teachings. And I found an Indian guru in his body and I started, you know, hanging out with him for years and years. And that's how my journey happened. And I started transforming my money mindset. I started transforming my sexuality. I started transforming what I thought was possible and started to create an extraordinary life where, you know, all I can say, it's a miracle that my life has turned out the way it has. But I know it's not just like, oh, it's a miracle. I created this miracle through deciding to do the work on myself and transforming myself. And of course, the transformation journey is going on. It's not over, right?
Of course.
There's no end goal. It's like you keep maturing. You keep finding deeper layers of peace and deeper layers of joy and deeper layers of forgiveness and all of these beautiful things that we all want to be feeling on a day-to-day basis, right?
Wow. Yeah, that's quite a compelling story. I can't wait to get into more of it with you on our next session.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Victor. I appreciate this.
Thank you so much for being on this episode of Intimate Interactions, Mahima.
It's been beautiful. I love it. And I can't wait to talk more. Thank you so much.
So how did you like it, Intimates? Discuss your ideas with the community at facebook.com/IntimateVictor or tweet me at IntimateVictor or follow my Instagram, you guessed it, at IntimateVictor. If you can spare the cost of coffee to help the show keep going, head to patreon.com/VictorSalmon. We hugely appreciate your help to continue making intimate conversations for you and yours. If not, you can always help other intimacy nerds find the podcast by leaving us a review anywhere online, especially iTunes. Or you can just tell a friend. The opening music is on hold for you, made of algorithmically generated notes and chords and played by an AI-rendered saxophonist. The closing music is Gymnopédie No. 1 by Eric Satie. Both are provided royalty-free, courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Thanks so much for your time, and may your most important relationships be filled with the intimate, rich interactions you crave. Be well.